everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on a Thursday edition. My buddy Tom Fairbanks always does such a great job engineering and producing for me. On the other side of the glass, got a great looking weekend, Tom. Yeah, it's overcast. I don't know if we'll ever get any rain out of this.
Are we in the no rain zone here in southern Arizona? You've heard of the no fly zone?
Yeah.
I wonder if this is a no rain zone.
I don't know, but I don't know if we'll
be getting... NWS is predicting some showers. We'll see.
We'll see. It's Thursday, November the 16th. 2023, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things has the naming rights to our studio. We're glad they do, and they are over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They are your poinsettia capital of, I don't know, the Southwest, maybe the United States. 21,000 poinsettias. I've got a couple now. They really are making the holidays, kind of kicking off the holidays in the right spirit. 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for local news and talk. That is our radio station. We have our worldwide live listening. In other words, you can stream our show live at buckmastershow.com, also the place for all of our podcasts, which stretch now almost 13 full years. Since we started the radio show, our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It is El Tour de Tucson time again, and once again, Rotary International will have a large presence in Saturday's race. John Huco is an attorney and public policy scholar who is currently CEO of Rotary International, which is based in Evanston, Illinois. He joins us now on our live line. John, how are you?
Good. Great to be with you again, Bill.
You've been running racing in the L Tour now. I think this is your 11th year, correct?
It is, and it's been 11 fantastic years. And Rotary International, our Rotarians around the world, we've used L Tour as an event to raise money for polio eradication. And over the last 13, 14 years, we raised about $61 million for polio eradication through El Tour.
How close are we to eradicating from the face of the earth the scourge of polio?
Well, we're very, very close. We began in 1985. Really, Rotary began this initiative to eradicate polio. Rotary, a nonprofit, not a government agency or a multilateral institution, sort of had the audacity to say we're going to eradicate a disease from the face of the earth. And at that point, only smallpox had been eradicated. And so we had about 350,000 cases per year back then around the world, 125 countries with polio. And we're now down to just two countries, Afghanistan and Pakistan, where the wild virus is still circulating. And this year to date, we've had 11 cases, six in Afghanistan and five in Pakistan. So we're very, very, very close. But with polio, you've got to get to zero, because if we don't get to zero, then the rest of the world needs to continue to vaccinate. We still have the threat of polio coming back. And so that's why El Tour is so important, because it really has served as a tremendous fundraising vehicle for us in our quest to eradicate polio.
How many Rotarians will you have in the race this year, John Huco?
I suspect we'll have close to 100. That's what we generally tend to average. Obviously, during the COVID years, things dropped off a bit. But good turnout from our riders, and also tremendous support from our 1.4 million Rotary members around the world who contribute and make contributions to this ride to, again, raise money for polio eradication.
What's the state of the art for Rotary International, the state of this service organization? How are you doing? What's your report card to our listeners?
Well, we're doing quite well globally. We're seeing tremendous growth in parts of Asia, Africa, Eastern Europe. Our membership in Ukraine, for example, has increased by 35% since the war started. As an organization, we really stepped up and provided more than $75 million worth of assistance to Ukraine and to the neighboring countries that are dealing with Ukrainian refugees. In North America, we're holding our own. We're holding steady. We have over 100 clubs here in Arizona, and we have over 3,000 Rotarians. And so we've got a number of really, really great clubs in the Tucson area. And so if any of your listeners are interested in joining an organization where you can network professionally, make great connections in the community, but also do great community service, whether it's locally, regionally, or internationally, I'd urge them to give Rotary a look.
John Huko, you are the son of Ukrainian immigrants. Your parents moved to the United States in 1949 after 4 years in German displaced persons camps. You've been really active in some of the formulative years of the Ukrainian Constitution with your legal background. So what is your take on what we've been witnessing with this ongoing war?
Well, first of all, just horrific what's actually happening, this brutal, unprovoked war that Putin unleashed on Ukraine in February of a year ago. But I was just in Ukraine several months ago, and really a number of things struck me, Bill. The first was just the extraordinary resilience of the Ukrainian people. I mean, you have to understand that they are undergoing missile attack after missile attack, bombing attack after bombing attack on a daily basis for more than 600 days now. Entire cities have been leveled to the ground. 9 million refugees, internally displaced and outside of Ukraine. Constant bombardment, constant death. And I was just extraordinarily amazed at the resilience of the Ukrainian people. They realized this is an existential battle for them, and they were not going to quit until they win. And the second thing that came away with was how unified Ukraine is. Certainly when I was living in Ukraine from 1991 to 1996 and was there when Ukraine became independent, actually in the Parliament building when they declared independence, and played a role in that whole process when I was working in the Parliament at the time. And it was, relatively fractured country, Russian speakers versus Ukrainian speakers, Orthodox, Catholic, pro-Russian, pro-Western. This war has completely backfired on Putin, and it has unified Ukraine as never before. I was at a large Rotary event in Western Ukraine, and a lot of Rotarians from Eastern Ukraine came. 5 years ago, they would have been speaking to me in Russian. It was all in Ukrainian. So the war is horrific. Ukrainians are standing up, but it has completely backfired on Putin. And the West needs to continue to support Ukraine. They can win. They will win. They just need continued Western support.
That message needs to get through, doesn't it, John, to some of our lawmakers who are balking at continued aid to Ukraine? That must make you very, very upset.
Well, it's concerning because, if we pull aid from Ukraine, it's a high probability they will lose. And then the cost to the West and to the United States becomes dramatically, dramatically greater. Because I see it right now as paying $5 to perhaps save $100 or $500 later. And so Putin victory would clearly embolden him. He said he wants to go after Poland and the Baltics next. And at that point, the stakes become incredibly, incredibly higher. You also have the whole Chinese factor in Taiwan and what's going to happen. China is watching very closely in terms of what unfolds in Ukraine. And then also we've already spent what we've spent to help Ukraine. It would be an absolute tragedy to walk away from it right now. When they can really achieve a victory if they have our continued support.
Speaking with John Huko, the General Secretary General Secretary and Chief Executive Officer of Rotary International, which is based in my neck of the woods, where I was actually born at Evanston Hospital in Illinois, and that's, of course, where Rotary is based. And, John, I guess you're looking for how many miles? Do you do the whole L tour, John, or are you kind of tapering off a little bit?
Well, no, I've done the full L tour each of the years. About 6 years ago, I broke 5 hours, which was my goal. And since then, I've been sort of hovering around a little bit over 5 hours.
Wow.
Although, as you know, Bill, the years march on, and I'm not any younger. And so I think, but I will be doing the 100 again. And it's just a fantastic ride, extraordinarily well organized. And of course, coming from Chicago, as you know, our weather in November is not the greatest, and to be able to come here to Tucson to see this, you know, this great weather and just great atmosphere is a lot of fun, and it's for a great cause.
All right, John Hucco, thank you very much. Good luck, John, with El Tour.
Thanks so much, Bill. Good chatting with you.
Always good to talk with John Hucco. We usually do this annual chat. John's been coming out for 11 years, taking part in El Tour. All right, we have Thanksgiving now a week from today. Time to make that order with Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Make the order for your pie, your dessert, and your dinner rolls. So give them a call. The website number's on the website, monasdanishbakery.com. They're open right now for lunch. They opened for breakfast, a great breakfast, 6:30 in the morning. They do take Monday off, but they are open right now. Stop by for lunch, or if you want a late breakfast, that's fine too. We'll take a break right here, Buckmaster, on a Thursday. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster. That's me, Bill Buckmaster, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Once again, Green Things, the place to go for all of your beautiful holiday greenery, all of their poinsettias over there at 3384 East River Road. They grew 21,000 of them. It's also a great time of year to go over to visit Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive. And yeah, it's a little cooler over there for sure, always is because of the elevation, but temperatures in the mid-60s, not bad at all to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for some very tempting outdoor activities, just hanging out in a very neat place, Victorian architecture there in Silver City. Our lifeline for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. November is National Caregivers Month. The United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona and Pima Council on Aging have teamed up to help promote their free training program to recruit direct care workers to help alleviate the dramatic shortage of care workers in Southern Arizona. It's not just a Southern Arizona problem. It's also a national problem, and it's of critical importance. Joining us on the live line, Mark Clark, President and CEO, Pima Council on Aging. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm okay, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. So, this is a very serious situation. The demand for this essential workforce has really kind of faded away, and we need to beef it up. What's going on in that regard, Mark?
Well, the demand is certainly increasing exponentially as people age. In Pima County, Bill, is about 289,000 people that are 60 years of age and older. That's the population we tend to focus most of our efforts on. That's a lot of people, and that number is increasing, and the age of those folks is increasing. In fact, the county is getting older much faster than it's getting bigger. In other words, the number of people 60 years of age and older has grown significantly more than the population of Pima County. And so we know that a very large percentage of people who talk to everybody who talks to them around the country, like somewhere in the 80% range, tell us that they want to age at home for as long as possible. Probably most of them say they want to just age at home, and actually they want to, you know, die in their bed, if you will. We don't talk about that often, but in order to do that, those of us who live longer are probably going to need help to do that. And some of us are lucky enough to have family members and friends. In fact, there's, AARP estimates there's something like 850,000 people in Arizona that are providing caregivers to family, friends, loved ones. It's a huge number of hours that they're providing in the economic engine. But not everybody have those family and friends who can provide that care. And so they need to turn to one of the organizations in the community, and there are a number of them that provide that kind of care.
Well,
so
I was going to ask you, Mark, what is responsible? What is being why do we have this shortage of caregivers here? Obviously, the demand is high, but why are folks kind of reluctant to get into this particular career?
Well, I think the pandemic just changed things significantly, Bill. People were nervous about letting folks into their homes, and people were nervous about going into homes. The demand for those services, certainly in the first year or two of the pandemic, dropped off significantly. Well, the demand didn't, but that workforce shrunk. And also, a piece of that was people being able to actually get into people's houses. Well, people are much more comfortable bringing folks in, and so the demand for those services have continued to grow and are growing significantly. We've got probably more than 100 people on our waiting list here at Pima County right now where we know they need somebody to come into their home and provide them with some assistance. The kind of assistance we're talking about are people who are coming in, helping people with what's called personal care, so maybe helping somebody safely take a bath, helping people to do linen changing, maybe doing laundry, some light meal preparation in some instances, also providing just a level of companionship and other kinds of supports that people need to stay in their homes. They need those services. They historically have not been highly paid jobs, honestly, and so then where people come from used to be in our setting. We own a home care company ourselves called Pima Care at Home. At Pima Care at Home, a lot of our caregivers were those family caregivers that were being supported through the Medicaid program, and when their loved one would end up needing to move out of the house or pass away, frequently those people often would say, "Hey, you know, I've enjoyed the work that I've done with my loved one. It's a good flexible job. I can work the hours that I have. Maybe only do some part-time work. So I think I'll go ahead and look for some other clients." Well, that whole segment of the workforce kind of dried up during the pandemic, honestly. Those people are coming back. I mean, we've doubled our workforce in our home care program in the last year. It's back up now to where it was pre-pandemic, but it's taken 3 years to get back there. So we also know that in Arizona, based on estimates, there's going to be a need for something like an additional 190,000 people who do that kind of work in the state by, I think, by 2030. So that's based on that aging nature of the population. So that's a lot of words, Bill, and I just sort of rattled on and threw a lot of stuff out there. But
yeah, I'm just wondering.
It really is.
So yeah. This teaming up with United Way. How is that working out? What will the goal be here?
So we've been doing this project with the United Way for several years. It was supported by Mercy Care, one of the long-term care plans in the community. First, it got started that way, and then we've taken over supporting. One of the things that we've discovered is people, again, who are working in these jobs often are folks that don't have a lot of money, and it can cost as much as $400 to get all of the screenings and the training you need to be able to actually do the work in the settings that we're operating in. And that's a lot of money, especially, you know, for folks who are low income. And so what we found is that we've been able to actually, with the United Way, we've done some promotional campaigns in the community to get the word out about the need, refer people to the United Way, to their website. They've got a staff person who screens all of these folks who can actually, you know, talk with them about the nature of the work, because we know there's a fairly high dropout rate in the first 6 months of somebody working in Serena, and so we'd much rather be sure we're getting people who know what they're going to be doing and are prepared then to do that work, which is what our training does. But we also know that they may need some support during that 6 to 8 week training and screening period that it takes somebody to get ready. So the United Way does that, and through our funding and other funding they've acquired, they cover all of those costs. So essentially, somebody, when they complete that program, they're job ready on day one to go out and get a job.
And what kind of money can these people make? Is it pretty good money?
Well, it is. It does tend to be low wage work at this point. So mm-hmm. people, I think, are in the $16 an hour range. You know, pre-pandemic, the wages were probably in the $12 range. So the dollar amounts have been going up. This is also, for a lot of people, this is an entry-level healthcare professional job.
Okay.
And so people who get started here actually in this work, actually, in fact, some of the nursing training programs require people to get this kind of a training and have experience, so that people aren't getting in the nursing program and then, you know, at Pima or at the U of A or any of the other colleges, NAU, so that people aren't getting in those jobs and then deciding after they've taken university classes and incurred that level of debt, aren't determining that they don't want to do the work. And so that's an important part of it, too.
And we should point out that people who care for loved ones, that takes its toll, Mark Clark, on the people. It's really hard work.
Absolutely. You know, so many of us do that, as I said earlier. You know, it's like 12% of the population of Arizona, and that's the total group. If you look at older folks that are providing that care, it's a much higher percentage, and it is very stressful work. We have support groups for family caregivers at PCOA. You know, and the way people can contact us is to go to our website at pcoa.org, or they can call us at 720-790-7262 for those support services. We have other information. We have specialists who can talk with folks about specific issues. We also have a training program for family caregivers, for these informal folks. That's, you know, a sort of a 2 half-day session or maybe even 2 full-day sessions. It's both information and support, but also hands-on training in our RESCOP Paulus training laboratory.
Okay,
again,
Mark.
People can get to us there.
Mark Clark, right. President and CEO of Pima Council on Aging. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks so much, Bill.
All right. We're at the halfway point of the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break right here. Be back with our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America.
Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of $36 billion, with more than 200 company locates and expansions supporting 57,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And this month's CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Inc., we have Alicia Ross with us on our live line. Alicia is the Vice President of Marketing and Sales at Hughes Federal Credit Union in Tucson. Alicia has over 35 years working in the credit union industry. She's a volunteer at Angel Charity for Children. She's been doing that for, I believe, over 8 years, serving that organization. She's also involved with other nonprofits. Alicia also participates in the World Council of Credit Unions Global Women's Leadership. She's originally born in Chicago, Illinois, my hometown. She moved to Tucson in the 1980s. Joining us now on the live line, Alicia, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Bill. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you so much. You know, when people hear credit union, the folks that perhaps have been banking with, doing all of their financial work with banks, they're not really sure what a credit union is. Why don't we begin there, Alicia?
Sure. I think that's a great question. We hear that a lot. Well, credit unions are work very similarly to the banking industry. In fact, we would consider ourselves the same. The difference is you're a member of the credit union, which is a not-for-profit financial cooperative, and our members are owners of the credit union. So we have a volunteer board of directors, and our members are actually the owners. And because of that, we can give our members back higher dividend rates, maybe lower rates on loans, lower fees, and so forth.
So where does the Hughes in Hughes Federal Credit Union come from? I'm assuming it goes back to Hughes Aircraft.
Yes, it does. So Hughes Federal Credit Union was established as a member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperative in 1952. And we started off serving Hughes Aircraft employees. What started as a two-person office 71 years ago is now an award-winning credit union. We have 7 locations across southern Arizona, more than 178,000 members, 270 employees, and we're now at $1.9 billion in assets.
Wow. So what separates you then from the other credit unions here in southern Arizona?
Well, with Hughes, we offer a one low rate loan. So we're probably one of the few financial institutions that offers a one low rate, which means we don't risk-based price our loans. Members receive the same great rate regardless of their credit score. We also offer technology people have come to expect from their financial institution, online banking, mobile. We provide an exceptional service experience through various communication channels. We've just recently added eChat, email, text messaging, and more. Our banking products include interest-earning checking accounts, cost-saving benefits, savings accounts, options with health savings, loans, credit cards, money markets, certificates of deposits. And Hughes actually pays a very high dividend rate that outperforms the market statewide currently.
You want to talk a little bit about how the high interest rates have impacted your organization?
The higher interest rates, right, nationwide rates have gone up, and it's impacted us in a way that, you know, we've been able to raise our rates to help support those in the community that are looking for safe savings. So we're actually insured by the NCUA for up to $250,000 per account. So we are a very stable, sound financial institution. Hughes has maintained a five-star Bauer rating by Bauer Financial, which is the financial banking rating service, a five-star Bauer rating for 31 years now. So we're able to offer deposit accounts at a higher rate. We're insured, we're safe, we're secure, and we're local, and we've been around for 71 years.
How do you get to be a member? How do you join a credit union?
Oh, that's a great question. So most credit unions have a field of membership that's open for members to join. So at Hughes Federal Credit Union, you can join through one of our select employee groups. You can also join if you live, work, and worship in Tucson, Arizona, because Hughes Federal Credit Union has an underserved community charter. We also offer membership to anyone that works or lives outside of the Tucson area through one of our community service groups that they can join. So they could also have a relative that lives here. We could sign up or join anyone for membership here at the credit union.
Okay.
We've expanded our field of membership.
So it doesn't have to be someone in the city limits or in Pima County or what?
No. If they do live in the city limits, absolutely they could join. They're part of the community. But if they're outside the city limits, there are other ways that they can join the credit union. We have a fairly open field of membership.
Okay. We're speaking with Alisa Ross, the Vice President of Marketing and Sales for Hughes Federal Credit Union. Let's leave the credit union for a moment and talk a little bit about some of the work that the credit union has been involved. I know you're involved with Angel Charity for Children. So Hughes Credit Union is a player with nonprofits. Why don't you talk a little bit about that for a moment, Alisa?
Sure. Well, we're invested in the community. Obviously, it's tied to our philanthropic values that support financial literacy, children in the community, the underserved community. And as a not-for-profit cooperative, we reinvest by providing financial support to numerous local nonprofits. It includes financial education to schools, countless volunteer staff hours supporting charities. Some of those are Girl Scouts of Southern Arizona. We just participated in the Over the Edge event this past Saturday. Obviously, Angel Charity for Children, which is dear to my heart. Banner Diamond Children's, Children's Miracle Network, Tucson Wildlife Center, and gosh, there's so many others. But something that people may not know about us is we've also been a partner with Earn to Learn for over 10 years. And that program helps low to moderate income students save and earn money for higher education through an 8-to-1 savings match program. So students who qualify for the savings program also receive personal financial training and a matched Earn to Learn savings account, which they can obtain at Hughes Federal Credit Union just by opening up a membership here. And they can build a scholarship up to $4,000 a year for tuition and other related costs at Arizona universities, community colleges, workforce development programs. You know, we're really excited and proud to partner with such a wonderful organization that supports low-income and underserved communities. The other thing we participate in and we've donated money towards since 2005 is Hughes has awarded over $115,000 in scholarship funds to high school students seeking to further their education or skills in college, vocational or certification programs. And we have a special relationship with Friends of the Libraries, which is a non-for-profit fundraising group. And we've donated, Hughes has, since 2000, $1.5 million collectively to help Friends groups. And that money goes towards purchasing new books, it may be computer equipment, hosting financial literacy classes, supporting other programs that bring educational resources to Southern Arizona residents. And then out of those funds, recently we donated over $120,000 to the Kirk Bear Canyon Library to help fund a new sensory program, which is geared towards the needs of neurodiverse and autistic children. I think Hughes is very involved in the community, cares about the community, and supports it. One of the programs that we offer, and we've been offering for several years now, is our debit card affinity program. So for every member that gets a new debit card in a specific design, Hughes will donate $5 towards that charity. So we have a Banner Health Card debit card. We have a Vail School District debit card. And, of course, our Diana Medeiros debit card. Any funds, those funds for Diana Medeiros are donated to the Tucson Wildlife Center.
Okay.
In support of that.
Diana Medeiros, of course, well-known artist here in Tucson, and she's done some great work. So that's great. You've got supporting some great organizations. How'd you get hooked up with Angel Charity for Children, Alisa?
Well, it was actually several years ago, and one of my peers that I work with here at the credit union that's since retired, Kelly Terhune Neely, was one that got me involved with Angel Charity for Children at the very beginning. And I attended several balls before I joined, and then one day I was asked if I would be interested in joining and participating, and I did. And it's just been such a wonderful experience for me. I think that Angel does so much for the community and giving back. You know, it's 100% volunteer effort. I wasn't sure if people really realized that. We have one part-time office employee that works for Angel. But all of the effort is volunteering to raise money for children. And every year we pick different beneficiaries. So this year, our beneficiary is Steele Children's Research Center, and then we have additional beneficiaries that we're helping, AmFi Foundation, Assistance League of Tucson, Arizona Burn Foundation, Courtney's Courage, Lead Guitar, Treasures for Teachers, and Tucson Refugee Ministry. And as you can see, that ties in with our philanthropic values here at Hughes as well to support children in the community.
All right, Alisa Ross, let's talk some more after we take a break. Let's talk about the economic impact of Hughes Federal Credit Union and your relationship to Sun Corridor, Inc. After we take a break, we'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We continue now with our CEO interview series. We do this once a month, and it's presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. This month's interview, Alisa Ross. Alisa is the Vice President of Marketing and Sales for Hughes Credit Union here in Tucson. Let's talk a little bit about the footprint, the economic footprint of Hughes Federal Credit Union here. How many employees you have, and what kind of an economic benefit are your employees providing for our community, Alisa?
Sure. I'm really glad that you asked me that. So Hughes, as I stated, we have about 178,000 members right now. We are employing a little over 270 jobs. Income to our employees is around 16 to 8 million. Our economic contribution, spending and compensation was estimated at about 85.6 million. Our direct economic impacts, as well as indirect and induced impacts, we provide low-cost loans in the community that our members have received through Hughes and save money. We provide lower fees and other services that hardworking people need. Credit unions are owned and driven by the members who use their services. So unlike for-profit financial institutions, which pay stockholders, credit unions reinvest their earnings into membership through those direct benefits.
I was just going to ask you about your relationship with Sun Corridor. Do you like the way that things are going in that direction with economic development?
Oh, absolutely. That is probably one of the reasons why, you know, we're participating with them. I'm thrilled to join Sun Corridor's board and support economic development, business relocation and expansion in our community, because these are all important priorities for Hughes as well. It's a great opportunity for Hughes Federal Credit Union to meet and talk with business owners, nonprofits, and other groups in our region. And it's helped us to make those connections and build those relationships.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about, I think you have, did you mention you have seven outlets in the area? Is that correct?
Yes, we have seven local branches, but we can also serve our members many other different ways. So we have just introduced a chat bot on our website with AI capability. Members can also talk with a live person through chat. They can communicate with us through text messaging, email, or, as I stated, stop by one of our seven branch locations.
And you're very competitive then with car loans and in that area, despite the escalating interest rates, which have perhaps leveled off. Let's hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. So Hughes is one of the very few credit unions nationwide that still offer one low rate. And what that means is that no matter what your credit score is, we don't risk-based price that loan. You get the same rate as the next member. So I think that gives us a little bit of a competitive advantage, and we also help more members in our community. I think it really ties in with our underserved community really well, because we can help more people with loans.
How about certificates of deposit? Are you very competitive with banks and some of the national providers, Alisa?
Yes, absolutely. So we use a program called DataTrack, which is on our website, and actually our CD rates and money market rates outperform in the state of Arizona. So we're very competitive when you compare us to banks and other financial institutions, even online.
We haven't talked about, and I want to talk about, what's in the future for Hughes Federal Credit Union. What do your growth plans look like? And perhaps you could share with us some of the strategic priorities that you all are laying out for the immediate future.
Sure. Well, we have a lot in the works right now. We are expanding in the community. We recently purchased an 88,000 square foot support center, which is near the Tucson Airport site, that will house over 100 support staff. That's real new for us. We just moved into that building in the past year. We're also in the process of launching a new mobile app, online banking platform, and bill pay within the next couple of months. Our new mobile app offers great budgeting tools and the same great features that we offer today. We continue to invest in technology. We recently launched that new chatbot with AI capability. I just mentioned that. So we're always looking for ways to make it easier for our members to do business with us and communicate with us and help them find the information that they need quickly. And then we just introduced an e-chat, so with live persons. So if somebody is on our website and they're not finding the information that they're looking for, they can chat with one of our employees.
I know you're very involved with helping other women in your profession, perhaps mentoring women. How does that career field look for young women?
I think it looks great for young women coming up. I think that even in the credit union industry, and that's where I started many years ago, over 35 years ago, actually, I think that it's grown, and I think that we offer more opportunities for women than ever before. We have a lot of women on our executive team right now, a lot of women in management positions. A couple of years ago, I started working with a few local credit unions here in Tucson to establish a global women's leadership network here in Tucson. And we promote women within the credit union industry. We help each other. And then we work to raise money also to help support women in the community.
All right. Before we leave, how about your website, Alisa?
Oh, sure. We're HughesFCU.com. .org. So it's www.hughesfcu.org. That's where you can find us. Take a look at our website. We have a lot of wonderful information out there to help meet the financial needs of anyone in our community. And Bill, I'm so appreciative that you invited me on your show today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
This was wonderful.
Thank you. And of course, we want to give out, for folks who want more information about Sun Corridor, their website is suncorridorinc.com. Alisa, thank you very much, and all the best to you and your family this Thanksgiving. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. You too. Take care.
Right. Alisa Ross, bye-bye. The Vice President of Marketing and Sales, Hughes Federal Credit Union, and she was our featured guest for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.